Take this offering that I bring. Humbly I fall on my knees to proclaim your everything. My life is nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustaining love. I live to worship you. Oh yes, I live to
offering that I bring. Oh, humbly I fall on my knees to proclaim that you're everything. See, my life, it is nothing without you. So take my hand and lead me through, for you are my sustaining love. Ashamed of you, oh Jesus.
I'm not ashamed of you. No, I'm not ashamed of you. No, I'm not ashamed of you, Jesus.
We're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed. Jesus, and here I am. forever, I'm gonna worship you.
Oh yes, I will.
I'm gonna worship you, Jesus. I'm gonna worship you forever.
Created for worship. Can we just lift our hands all over the sanctuary and just worship Him? Thank you, Lord. We want to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, with everything, our total being, oh God, to know you, this Christ, and to make you known to a lost and a dying world. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise in this house. He's worthy. He's high and He's lifted up. Tonight we're going to be having a baptismal service. So if you have not been baptized, you have been saved by the precious blood of Jesus, but you have not yet been baptized. It's commanded to be baptized. Amen. It is an outward demonstration of an inward work, what God has done in our life. This time we're going to dismiss everyone to Children's Church, age 5 to 11. All of our 5 to 11 year olds to Children's Church. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn it to Daniel chapter number 1. While you're turning there, I want you to know we've talked about the sanctuary expansion. And I'm just looking all over the sanctuary and I see a lot of families that aren't here today. Summertime's coming up, just different things, some sickness. But I'm telling you, if we had everybody here, it looks like we're about 330 people with the kids and everyone. We're going to be knocking this back wall out and taking in the prayer rooms, moving our prayer rooms to the back. And we're going to be able to add 125 people to our sanctuary. That's going to help us during our big conferences, during East Texas Youth Conference, which we had 550 that Friday night. And the Minister's Restoration is coming up, and we expect a big turnout for Minister's Restoration. We're just getting ready for harvest. That's all we're doing. Amen. We're getting ready for a harvest of souls. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 1, and we're reading verse number 8. Very familiar verse of scripture. I still remember preaching out of this text when I was not even yet engaged to Sister Tori. And they had me preaching. Frito-Lay had me move to Arkansas for a week, and I preached out of this text, one of my first messages I ever preached out of this text. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for what we feel in the sanctuary. Lord, I know that you're in our midst this morning. We can feel the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask you that you would just take a coal fire from off the altar this morning, lay upon these lips of clay and anoint me with that holy, precious anointing that makes preaching effective. I pray that you'd anoint every ear that we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say. Do a deep work in and through every heart and life today. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the thought, dare to be a Daniel. As I begin to read the life of Daniel, my response as I begin to familiarize myself with the story, I wish somebody would dare to be just like he was in his day. Listen, we are living in a wicked hour. We are living in the last days. I believe that this church age is going to see the rapture of the church. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm constantly looking up because I know and I believe that my redemption is drawing nigh. I don't want to just be an ordinary Christian, but I want to stand with my loins girt about with truth and full of God's Holy Ghost. I want to be a Daniel in my hour. Is there somebody else in the house that would dare to be a Daniel? Who's not afraid to go against the grain of this hour that we live in? Who's not scared a little bit to rock the boat? Who in this house is not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And who is willing to take a chance? I'm going to tell you, whenever you stand up for truth, when you dare to be a Daniel, you are going to take a chance. But I can tell you something, it's worth the chance. When you and I stand up for truth and righteousness, when we stand up for the purity of the gospel, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Listen, after living 45 years on this planet, I'm not real old. I'm an old man to some and I'm a young man to others. But after living in this planet for 45 years and being saved for over 25 years, I have concluded that life is nothing more than a series of choices. We make our decisions and our choices, and our decisions turn around and make us. Decisions in life have a domino effect. If you and I begin to trace back decisions in our life. Listen, this is for the young people. This is for the kids, the teenagers, the college and career, mainly, you know, because they are at a crossroad of decision in their life. But it's applicable to every age bracket in this house today. As you begin to look back at the domino effect of decisions, and you can think back to times, either 5 years ago, 10, 20, 30 years ago, decisions that you made that had a domino, a ripple effect in your life. And you can begin to trace back the steps why you are what you are today and why you are in the place you are where today because of a decision you made a long time ago. Listen, I'll never forget. You've heard me say it at First Assembly of God in Tyler years ago. It had a banner across the doors, the back doors when you left that church, and it said this: it will cost you too much to be out of the will of God. I believe that there is a perfect will of God, and you and I have got to make sure that our decisions are the right decisions, because your decisions will make you in life, and it will set the course for the rest of your life. Listen, young people, again, kids, teenagers, college and career age, you are at the crossroad of decision in this hour. And listen, if you don't make the right decision, it's going to have a ripple effect. Those decisions like this: who do I marry? Listen, it's a big deal who you marry. I've had people come up, I believe they're well-meaning people, and listen, if it's you, there's probably been several of you. They'll say to my girls, they'll say, one of these days your dad's going to let you get married. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I want them girls to get married. I want them to get out of the house, let somebody else take care of them, but it's going to be the right man of God. I've counseled too many people that were out of the will of God that's having marital problems, and I sure ain't going to push them out just for the sake of getting married. Come on. But I'm going to tell you, we've got to make sure we are in the will of God. The decisions like, what church am I going to attend? Or am I going to attend church at all? There's an endless checklist. Do I go to college? Do I go to trade school? Do I just go out and get a job? There's so many decisions that you and I... Listen, young people, you don't only need to pray. Not only do you need to pray, but you need to seek out godly counsel. And those of every age, you need to get godly. In the multitude of counselors, Solomon said, there is safety. When you and I make our decisions, again, they turn around, our decisions do, and they make us choose carefully. But please hear me today. When it comes to your walk with God and resisting the influence of the world, Not only must you make the right choices, but you must make them ahead of time and get them firmly established in your mind. Let me say it again. Not only must you make those right choices ahead of time, but you must make them and get them firmly established in your mind. As we read our text again, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. In other words, he thought about the future temptation ahead of time, and he made up his mind. He knew it was coming. He knew that he was going to face things just like every single one of us face things, and you got to get it made up in your mind what you're going to do when it comes your way. I oftentimes begin to think about the future. What if this happens? And I can imagine myself standing for truth in this wicked and perverse hour. You got to get it firmly established in your mind in this hour. Would you dare to be a Daniel and purpose in your heart that you will not defile yourself with the wickedness of this world? Oh, listen, he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get my mind firmly established. I'm going to think about it ahead of time. I'm going to picture how I'm going to handle it. And I'm going to get a made up mind. I said it Wednesday night. I don't believe in just the power of positive thinking. No, I believe there's a grace, a power given by the Spirit of God himself. But I have to make up my mind. It's when the free will of man meets up with the grace of God. It is a dynamite experience. I've got to have a made up mind. Some of you just need to get your mind made up. God's ready and waiting to help and to establish you and to strengthen you and to pour out his blessings on your life. But you're a double-minded man or woman. And James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of their ways. Oh, come on. I'm talking about getting a made up mind. If some of us would just do that today, get a made-up mind. Listen, stubbornness is not always a good quality, but sometimes it is. Oh, listen, you've been around them stubborn folks that just for the sake of being stubborn. Oh, some of you are thinking about folks right now. Well, what about you? Some of us are stubborn in those ways. I've been stubborn, and it is not always a good quality. Sometimes we need to be open-minded. Other times, we need to be closed-minded. Do you hear me? I said sometimes we need to be open-minded, willing to change. Other times, when it comes to certain issues, I am closed-minded. I have tunnel vision. You might as well not even talk to me because I ain't going any further. You know, women are a powerful thing. My wife, I love her so much. All she's got to do is just act like she wants it, and I just jump all over and try to get it for her. She got to be real careful. Women are a powerful thing, but she can change my mind oftentimes whenever I get my mind set on something. She can just talk to me and she can reason with me. But she knows there is a certain time she might as well just go talk to that sheetrock wall right there, because if I get my mind made up, if I get my mind set on something, you can hang it up. Oh, come on. And when it comes to this gospel, we've got to be stubborn. We got to be closed-minded. We got to make up our mind. For me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We're going to let the Holy Ghost move in our lives. We're going to come to God and stand against sin. Amen. Somebody's got to stand against sin in this hour and call it what it really is. We must be a people who stand for truth. We must dare to be a Daniel. It's this way. When it comes to morals and right and wrong, biblical issues, we must firmly make a stand and get a made-up mind. I have the story in my mind throughout the week. I love the story out of the book of Daniel. Daniel is such an awesome young man in this story. Daniel and his friends, as we know, had been exiled from their family in Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar had taken them captive, him and several other Jewish boys. But in this captivity, King Nebuchadnezzar allowed them to pick out the choice of the Jewish boys to train them in all the customs of the Babylonian culture. For 3 years, they were immersed in the Babylonian knowledge, the culture, history, language, and religion. It was basically a sophisticated form of brainwashing. They wanted to pull them out of their previous environment. They wanted to educate them. They wanted their mind to go a certain direction. It was so powerful. They even wanted to change their name, and they did. They wanted them to forget about their past. Listen to me, in this hour that we're living in, I'm going to tell you, the enemy's trying to brainwash the church. They're trying to get, listen, COVID-19, I know it was a real thing. I had it myself. I had a few sniffles. It's hard on some people and easy on the other. I know it's real, but I can tell you behind that demonic spirit was to try to shut down the church of the living God. I'm going to tell you, the true church cannot be shut down if there's a people who will stand up and dare to be a Daniel. It's a sophisticated form of brainwashing. They did it during COVID-19. They're still doing it right now. I said it Wednesday night. If you're stressed, downcast, and in great despair, I got some counsel for you. Turn off the news. Delete your social media just for a couple of days. And you're talking about joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to tell you, just get in the Word of God. Stop listening to the fake news out there and stop allowing them to brainwash you and to get you out of the culture of a godly experience and what you have known. Jude said we are to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints of God. Come on, church. I'm talking about a people who have got to get a made-up mind. A sophisticated brainwashing aimed at making them forget their past and form a new allegiance to the king in his pagan way of life. Come on, social media is doing it today. Listen, it's happening everywhere. Everything seems to be going well until Daniel sticks his heels in the ground. Somebody in this house needs to stick their heels in the ground. Don't be afraid of what the world thinks about you. We've come to a place where we're so afraid that we're going to be marked as one of them. Well, I'm here this morning to tell you, I'm glad that I can say I am one of them. I am a blood-bought child of God, and I am on my way to heaven. I'm not afraid to be marked with one of them. I am a child of the King this morning. Don't be afraid to be marked as one of them. He sticks his heels in the ground, basically says, this is where I draw the line. He's saying, I will not defile myself with the king's meat, nor the wine that he drinks. What seems to be a small thing sets the course for the next 60 years of his life. No one understands why. I mean to tell you, this man, Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, were in Babylon. They had been educated in a pagan form of education. They were even eating the pagan foods out there. They had even been renamed, all four of them. But yet, why now? Why is it that this particular thing meant so much to him? I'll give you three reasons. Number one, because in the meat in this situation, it possibly was not cooked according to Jewish laws. Maybe. Number two, all the meat had been previously offered to pagan gods. This is where Daniel said, okay, listen, I'm willing to be in this thing to keep my life, but this is where I draw the line. Somebody needs to draw an invisible line. And number three, possibly why he refused to eat the king's meat. Daniel knew that sharing a meal meant a form of sharing values. It's the same way today. Whenever you share a meal with someone, it's almost an acceptance of who they are. It's a bonding of a friendship. Come on. Daniel said, I'm going to draw the line right here. Everything, when it came to eating this food, for whatever reason why, he knew and Daniel stood upon it. Daniel, to do this, it meant a moral compromise. Therefore, the Bible said he purposed in his heart that he would not do it. Not only was he ruining his chances of advancement, but he was putting his life at risk Think about this today. He was putting his life in danger. Listen, you can't climb the ladder while you're rocking the boat. But rock the boat. I said, you can't advance in worldly and secular society whenever you're constantly making a stand for the gospel. Make a stand anyways. It would be easy to compromise. He was away from his home, away from his people. He could have compromised and justified it 1,000 different ways. Some people, they'll compromise when they go on vacation. I have heard of this. I know it doesn't happen at harvest time church because this is the real church, amen. But I'm going to tell you, there are some folks when they go on vacation, they'll do a little drinking of wine. They'll sip a little alcohol. They'll do a little bit of this or a little bit of that. I don't believe in sipping, saints. I believe that we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. We act different when we get over there. No, what you are is what you are over there. Come on, church. I'm telling you, you are not who you are when you're in Tyler, Texas, amongst your religious friends. No, you are who you are when you're all by yourself in your home. You are who you are when you're out on vacation, when you get in another state. It would have been easy for Daniel to justify. I'm away from home, and I'm a part of society. If I'm really going to have an impact, I've got to join them. If you can't beat them, just join them. Maybe you can win them. No, the moment you and I compromise this gospel, we have just rendered ourselves helpless to help anybody else. Oh, come on. Will somebody dare to be a Daniel? This man could have easily compromised. He could have said something like this. Well, I don't want anybody to think I'm one of them legalists. Legalism, that's such a terrible word, and it is a bad thing. Listen, there are some legalistic people, and some of them legalistic Christians or religious people are some of the meanest people in the church world today. I mean, they have a pattern. This is what keeps you saved. If you don't do just like I do, you're not saved. That's legalism. You can't save yourself, nor can I. We are saved by the blood of the cross of Calvary. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I can tell you that doesn't mean once saved, always saved. I believe that we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. Then we have fellowship one with another, and then and only then does the blood cleanse us from all sin. Daniel, he could have easily made an excuse, but Daniel didn't need an excuse because he already made up his mind ahead of time. He'd already made up his mind. Not only did he make up his mind, but he firmly established. He purposed in his heart, I will not. Come on, church. I'm telling you, you've got to get ready. There are some things you cannot do on the spur of the moment. I believe in the empowerment of the Spirit. I believe God will help you no matter what you face. But there are some things you've got to establish ahead of time. Amen? There's too much pressure. There's too many things pulling at you and pushing against you. You got to get firmly established. Notice when Daniel made up his mind, his closest friends decided to do the same. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they decided to do the same. You know what I've noticed? Fear is contagious. You think COVID-19 is contagious? Woo! I'm telling you, when fear gets a hold of somebody's heart, it consumes them completely. It's so contagious. But I've also noticed that courage is contagious. Oh, when somebody says, listen to me, my God in whom we serve is able. All of a sudden somebody hears that and they say, yeah, he's able. Yes, God is true. Yes, he's all powerful. There is something that forms in the heart of people. It can be projected on one person to another. Whenever you and I stand up and dare to be a Daniel, somebody else can have the courage to stand up with us and shoulder to shoulder. Believe God and stand up for truth. Listen, it is imperative that you and I, as children of God, we stand up for truth. Don't be afraid to be rejected because Jesus was rejected. Jesus said, if they hate you, know that they hated me before they ever hated you. Yes. Hatred from the world is part of the experience of pure, true Christianity. My pastor used to say the man of God or the woman of God will be the most loved person in the community and the most hated at the same time. Listen, they're going to love you, that sinner out there that really wants to be saved and they need help, they need prayer. They'll see the purity of that life. They'll see the truth in that life. But I can tell you something, truth also offends. The light in of the gospel that is to shine forth from us, what does it do? The light of the light of Christ, it exposes darkness. Men do not come to the light because they love darkness. And whenever you and I, as Christians, we make our stand in this wicked and perverse hour, it shines. The roaches love the dark, don't they? They hide in the dark. Whenever you and I shine the light, it exposes the life of sin. And that is not to get them. No, it's to help them. We will either be the most loved and the most hated in the community. Influence is a powerful thing. Influence is a powerful thing. I've watched influential people. I've watched it at Harvest Time Church. You know what I do? I am a watchman on the wall. I see a whole lot more than you think I see. I'm watching. I don't tell everybody everything. I watch. I pull the influential people that I need them to influence. I watch it at Harvest Time Christian Academy. I watch the most sold out Christians in that school. I watch them influence and I strengthen them. I pull them beside me. I encourage them. And as they continue, those kids, those older kids begin to stand up for truth. The younger ones, the junior high kids stand up for truth. And it's like a domino effect all the way down. Come on, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing. I've watched it in the school of ministry. Influential people. Listen, you and I have the possibility of influencing a society around us. You have the possibility of influencing a weaker Christian and projecting a courage on them that didn't know anybody had the boldness to stand up. But when you did it, it gave them a boldness to stand up and to abstain from all appearances of evil. We have a responsibility in this hour to stand up for truth. Verse number 9 adds a crucial fact. It says this, after all of these things, after Daniel made his stand, after he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat nor the wine that he drank, something took place. Now God suddenly enters the picture. Here, he calls Melzar to look with him with favor upon Daniel and his three friends. This is the one that was directly over Daniel and his three friends. He was a pagan. It happened only after Daniel's decision and not before. Does God bless those that honor him? You better believe he does. But you generally don't experience that blessing until you stand up for what you believe. There is a blessing reserved for the bold that the timid can never experience. Do you hear what I'm saying? I said there is a blessing reserved for the bold. When you make your stand, that's what Daniel did. And all of a sudden, that one that was a pagan over him, he had favor with him, and he made his request, and he granted his request. Listen, I wish somebody in this house would understand. God's looking for somebody who will stand up for truth and righteousness, and he will then open up the windows of heaven over your life, not before but after. It is a test of our faith, and we must stand up for truth. I dare you to do it. I dare you. I dare you to dare to be a Daniel. I dare you. Daniel proposed his proposal. It was, listen, he talked to this man. He said, we'll take in vegetables and water for 10 days. If you will not make us eat the meat that belongs to the king. Notice that he didn't have an attitude. Notice he didn't have a screaming shout down at the one that was over him. Notice that he didn't have, his lip wasn't quivering and he was mad and gave the testimony of God a bad name. I've seen people try to stand up for truth and righteousness and they have such a mean spirit about it. I'm thinking, man, you might as well just cuss them out. Do you hear what I'm saying? This man immediately, whenever Daniel made up his mind, now listen, he was going to be nice about it. Didn't mean if that guy didn't treat him good that he was going to go ahead and succumb to evil. That's not what I'm saying. But he had the right attitude. Listen, you and I must have the right attitude in this hour. This world's not going to receive anything from us when we're mean-spirited. Immediately, he had favor. And you know the story. He was able to eat vegetables and drink water, all four of them, and they fared better than those who ate the meat. But let me say it again. There is a blessing reserved for the bold that the timid can never experience. Also remember, there's a constant battle for your mind. It was a battle for Daniel's mind. And in our society, with this brainwashing that's constantly going on, the pressure to succumb and to give in to the ways of the world, there's a constant battle for the mind. And some are losing the battle today simply because they don't even know they're in a battle. They don't even know. They've already been brainwashed by the spirit of the world. Listen, we just kind of go with the flow and wonder why we keep looking and sounding like the Babylonians. I mean, I hear it in jest with men, and they're just saying it in jest with their wives. He said, I just go along to get along. I believe that's a good idea every once in a while. Go along to get along. But we don't go along to get along when it comes to this world. No, no, no. We've got to go against the grain. We don't just go with the flow, or we'll end up just like them. We must make up our minds in advance. We'll stay loyal to God no matter what the cost. Oh, when you make up your mind, God don't have to bless me. God does not have to further me in the secular world or give me a bigger house or a bigger car or more money in the bank. If I go flat broke, I'm going to love him. You just go ahead and wait. That's when the blessings are going to become. Whenever you stand up in the midst of this wicked world, we must make up our minds in advance. We will stay loyal to God. The key word, here it is, in advance. In advance. Some decisions just can't be made on the spur of the moment. You know, I've made some decisions in advance. Several years ago, there was a man, don't ask me after the service because I'll never tell you the name. But he would get underneath my skin. I mean, he made me mad. Whenever me and my wife were married, he was an older man, but he would always come up and he would say little things to my wife. And I had made up my mind. If he says one more thing to my wife, I'm going to let him have it. It wasn't mean things. It was just little things. He was trying to get her, you know, to compromise. And I made up my mind. Every time I would get around that man, my blood pressure would rise. I'd get a headache. I'm telling you, I'm in my early 20s. I'd get a headache. I mean, I wanted to knock his block off. I'm just being honest, amen. But then, I'll tell you, I got liberated one day. I was in Sam's. There was a lot of God's dealing with me when I was putting out chips for Frito-Lay at Sam's, because there was a lot of hours putting out chips. And I remember the Spirit of God began to deal with me because we were going to come in contact with this individual. And I mean, I was all upset and my blood pressure was rising. And the Holy Ghost said, why don't you make up your mind in advance? You're going to keep your mouth shut. But Lord, I wanted to knock his block off. Something happened to me right there. I made up my mind. I could picture that man saying something, and then I responded with the love of God. I'm going to tell you something. The stress left me because, listen, if it came down to it, if he was to try to harm my family, that's a little bit of a different situation. But listen, he was just running his mouth. It was no big deal. And I got all messed up over some kind of a foolishness like that. Amen? And whenever I made up my mind, if he says whatever he wants to say, I'm going to respond with kindness. I was liberated that day. I made up my mind. I purposed in my heart. I'm going to do the right thing. I don't care if it's a temptation at work with the opposite sex. Are you experiencing anything like that? If you are, you better make up your mind ahead of time. When it happens, you play out in your mind exactly only what you're going to do. You better run like Joseph ran, or your whole life's going to be destroyed. I can tell you what I'd do. I'd rebuke them in the name of Jesus and call Sister Tori and tell her exactly what happened. I done purposed in my heart that I'm not going to defile myself with the things of this world. It doesn't matter whatever it is. Well, I don't care if you're in the midst of temptation at work. I understand the Spirit of God. There are times that He leads and guides us, and He gives us the words to speak in that moment. We understand the leading of the Holy Ghost, and we understand that we're not to go after everything. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the main things that you struggle with, when it comes to things that you're, I don't care if it's at work and they're telling some dirty jokes, you need to go ahead and play in your mind the love of Christ, how you're going to respond. But you better stand up for truth. You better not go along with it. I tell our young men, there was one of our young men, fine young man, he began to tell me about somebody else in the fellowship who had done wrong, some teenage boys. And I said, I thank you for not entering in, but let me tell you another step, another level. When it takes place, you need to stand for truth and righteousness. They may get mad at you, but I'm telling you, the light of the gospel of Christ will shine, and it will make a difference. That is what it means to dare to be a Daniel. Oh, listen, church. I don't care what you can fill in the blank with so many different experiences. Oh, come on. The race war going on in America today. Listen, don't fall into that trap. I don't know any personal racists at all. If they are, they hiding it from me. I'd rebuke them on the spot. But don't fall to that trap. Don't allow the world's games to get a hold of your heart and your life today. Don't allow the media or even well-meaning people that you know turn you against your brother or sister of another skin color. Come on, church. We fall into that trap. Don't you dare compromise. Not every hill is worth dying on. Now, I'm preaching to you about daring to be a Daniel. Not every hill is worth dying on, but some are. And it's better to die on those hills than to slide off into shameful compromise. We must know our own limits, and we must not do what we know is wrong. This follows logically from what I have just said. Daniel knew his limits, and when they enrolled him in the Babylonian State University, he didn't object. When they taught him the Babylonian language, he learned it just like everyone else. When they taught him a new culture, he did not rebel. And even when they changed his name, he apparently did not speak out. But when they said, you got to eat the king's meat at the king's table, he said, I don't think so. Oh, I'm going to say it again. Not every hill is worth fighting on and dying on, but some are. There comes a time where you got to draw a line and say, I will not go any further. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I heard a little phrase that helped me more than once. When faced with a hard moral crisis, say these words: others can, but I cannot. Others can. I'm not going to judge them. Now, if it's a biblical black and white issue, we stand up hard and heavy. There are other issues God's dealt specifically with you. And listen, I've had school of ministry young men say, well, what about this person? They're doing this. I said, we're not going to judge them. We don't do this. Others can, I cannot. I'm going to stand. I'm going to make sure that I am separated from the world. Listen, we need to save ourselves from this untoward generation. You better save yourself. You say, well, how close to the line can I get? How close do you want to get to eternal damnation? I want to run. I want to get as close to Jesus as I can. I don't want to straddle the fence. Why? Because I might have a hard day one day, and I don't want the rapture to take place whenever I'm straddling the fence. No, I want to get as far away from that as I can. I want to dare to be a Daniel. I read about a 400-year-old redwood that suddenly, without warning, toppled to the forest floor. What caused the death of such a majestic giant? Was it fire, lightning? A strong wind? A post-mortem explanation revealed a startling cause. Tiny beetles had crawled under the bark and literally eaten the fibers away the inside. Although it looked healthy on the outside, On the inside, it was virtually hollow. And one day, finally, it collapsed. The same thing happens when we refuse to stand our ground for Christ. The same thing happens. Every time we compromise, something bad happens in our soul. Just like the tiny little beetles ate away at the redwood. Every single time you see evil and turn away, it is evil. Did you get what I just said? Every time you, well, let me rephrase that. Let me explain it. Every time we see evil and we refuse to make a stand and say nothing, that is evil. Amen. Dare to be a Daniel. Here's the final lesson. What starts with Daniel ends with God. What starts with courage ends with a lifetime of blessing. Look what God did for this courageous teenager. God protected him. God prospered him. He promoted him in the eyes of the king. Listen, I cannot read the story without thinking of the words of God to Eli in 1 Samuel 2 and 30. Those who honor me, I will honor. I told you in the beginning that this was a crucial event in Daniel's life. It may not have seemed important at the time, but his decision, it set the course for 60 years of his life. At the beginning of this message, I talk about decisions. We make decisions, and our decisions turn around and make us. Trace it back. All the decisions that maybe you've made, and I've made some bad decisions, church. I've made some bad decisions. Failure is not final in the eyes of God. I have failed God so many times, but trace back every decision. And remember, and look at the domino effect. Through the course, if you're humble, God can make something beautiful out of your life. I begin to think back. Can someone come to the piano? I begin to think back to my life early as a Christian. And I begin to think about the influences that I was around and the opportunities I had and the directions I could have went. And so easily, one decision, I wouldn't even be in Texas. I'd have never met her. My kids would never be here. It's amazing when you think back in the domino effect of your life. Yes, every decision affects the course of your life. Choose your the direction of your life and everything you're faced with. Choose it cautiously. Your decisions make you. But when it comes to the things of God, that's a little bit different. We got to make up our mind every single time that we're faced with something. Again, not every hill is worth dying on, but some are. You got to make up your mind what you're going to stand for and refuse. There are times you cannot keep your mouth shut. There are times that silence is sin. There are times that silence is sin. And we've got to speak up. Listen to this poem or this gospel song that was written in 1873. It was written by P.P. Bliss. Wrote a gospel song about the story that became very popular but has in our day become virtually unknown. It's called Dare to be Daniel. Listen to the words of this. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, heading to the earth, would fall if met by Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his host defy and shout for Daniel's band. And then it says this, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Can we stand? Be very cautious. What you watch on television. Do you know that when you watch sitcoms, movies, whatever you watch, it goes into the eye gate, into the brain. It's windows to the soul. Proverbs, Solomon says it. It's been one of the key things that I've counseled and taught about spiritual warfare and struggles in people's lives. Window to the soul. Whatever you think, whatever man thinketh on in his heart, Solomon said, so is he. You think on it, you watch it, you partake of it, you eat it, you become that. Some people have no problem in the church with vulgar, wicked entertainment on the television because they've done it for so long, they've been desensitized. They've been desensitized. It's like putting that the old illustration about putting a frog in lukewarm water. And if you were to put him in hot boiling water and just throw that live frog in there, what would he do? He'd jump straight out. But if you put him in that lukewarm water and just turn the fire up just a little bit, you'll have frog legs in just a little while. So many in the church have become desensitized, brainwashed. There's no more. I'm not convicted about sexual content. If it's on a movie, what's the big deal? Really? Would you allow someone to do it live in your house when you're sitting on the couch watching it? Brother Matt, that's a terrible illustration. It's terrible to watch filth and vulgarness on television. Would you allow, you Christians, would you allow somebody to come in your house and drop a four-letter word in your house talking to you? Why is it okay to watch it on television? It's wicked. It's wrong. We've had a rule, me and my wife have had a rule, and this has been it's a hard thing to do. It all goes back to compromise. I don't want to compromise. If you don't do exactly what I do, that's between you and God. But let me tell you what I do. We ain't even had cable or dish until the last 3 or 4 years. That's when we backslid, about 3 or 4 years ago. She goes through and she deletes all this stuff that you know, she gets it off the dish. But even the things that we watch that we think, oh, it's okay. If it has one four-letter word, what we do is we go, whoop, turn it off, boom. We don't go, ooh, man, that's terrible. If they do that one more time, they curse one more time, I'm going to throw that off. Turn that off. They curse about 10 more times. That was such a good movie. Has somebody called me and told me what you're watching? No. It's between you and God. How far have we come away from knowing that Jesus is coming after a bride that has made herself ready? Now listen, if you get mad at me and go down to the Baptist church and they don't preach that, or go down to that Pentecost church down there and they don't preach that, you're still going to be judged what I just said. It don't matter. You can go to another church and don't preach it. He don't believe like that. Maybe I won't get judged for that. No. Listen, Jesus, the Word of God said to abstain from all appearances of evil. The reason why we have lustful thoughts and we cannot say no to pornography in the secret place is because we've been dabbling with stuff on television. We have been, listen, whenever you look at it, the lust of the eye, it develops an appetite for the flesh. Well, I don't think bad thoughts. When you look at it with the natural eye, it develops an appetite for the flesh. And whenever you're in the secret place, men and women, a thought comes to your mind and you just Google it and hit the button. We have access to the most demonic things, just one thought. Put the word in the search engine and just click the button. And there it is right before your eyes. And we wonder why. We wonder why we're not casting out devils. We wonder why we don't even... Listen, how can we make a stand for those little things? Daniel says, I ain't eating the king's meat. Eating the king's meat? That's little. Because he was sharp. He was pure before God. And I don't have just a fixation on entertainment, but... Anything. You've got to get so close to God that there's a personal consecration between you and God. You and God. I've had people get mad at me because I talk about sipping beer and drinking wine, and they get mad. They're like, why does he preach on that? Because the Bible says this, that no drunkard's going to enter in the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Bible says. That means that if he's preaching to the church, the Galatians, he's not preaching to the world. No drunkard's going to enter in the kingdom of heaven. And they get mad at me and they say, why do you say that? We don't get drunk. Okay. What is the blood alcohol level in the state of Texas for getting a ticket? Does anybody know? Please don't say if you know, because that may not be a good sign. Whatever it is, they consider you drunk. When does God consider you drunk? Well, I'd have to be, I wouldn't know my name or, no. Is it drunk right at the buzz, at the first little buzz? Why would you want to risk your soul? Why would you want to risk eternity over sipping wine? Listen, hey, Proverbs said wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. I'm going to run from that wickedness. I used to be bound by alcohol. I know what it means to be a drunk, a sober, a sod drunk, and craving it in the morning time as a teenager because I'd been drinking it for years. But I also know what it means to be free by the power of the cross, by the blood of the Lamb of God. Listen, church, you better come up with your own convictions. When I got saved, everybody in my house got saved. My mom was saved, but she got resaved, didn't you? My brother-in-law, my sister said, I'll tell you what, when he got saved, we all got saved again. You know why? Because I wanted to be holy. I wanted to be separated. I didn't want to live and dabble. I ain't going to, listen, I don't use four-letter words. Why? Because I don't watch that stuff on television. The reason why people curse whenever they get mad or they hit their finger with a hammer is because they've been listening to it on TV. The reason why somebody's thinking about leaving their husband for somebody else because they listen to country western music on the way home. Yeah, hey, I'm already preaching. I've already got myself in trouble. Can I just go for it this morning? Can I just tell everything that I know? We wonder why. We wonder why. Well, we ain't gonna listen to that rock music, that heavy metal. Is that what it's? I don't even know what it's called anymore. But that hard stuff, because it says bad words. No, behind everything that's not of God is a spirit of this world. And it will pull you away from this Christ. You wonder why you don't want to come to church on Sunday night, Wednesday night? I'm not saying that everybody has to come. I know there's health problems. I know there's a distance for some folks. But I'll tell you why you're falling out of love with Jesus. Because you have fallen in love with the world. Listen, church, it's time again to separate ourselves from everything that's not like Him. I want to be holy, for He is holy. He said, come out from the world. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be unto me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Whatever it is, here's the question before I give this altar call. If it's borderline, if it's questionable, is it worth your soul? It's not worth your soul. I don't know if that's, I'm not going to get into that legalism. It's not legalism to me. It's life. It's life. It's Holy Ghost life. You see, sanctification in its best definition I've ever heard is this. Sanctification, we believe in an instantaneous, I'm saved whenever the blood touches me. In 1996, March 15, 1996, when I said, Jesus, will you save me? The Holy Ghost took the blood of Jesus and He applied it to my soul. I was clean, ready for heaven. But we believe in a work called the progressive work of sanctification. What is the progressive work? It is, as I walk along this journey, the Holy Ghost reveals to me an attitude in my heart. And He says, that ain't of me, son. Deal with it now. Yes, Lord. If I rebel against God and say, no, I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to listen to His voice. That's rebellion. That's when it becomes sin. Matt Gregory, I want you to give up this thing right here. But the preacher ain't told me to. Don't matter if the Holy Ghost is the one that's got to talk to you. Don't live on another man's convictions. Let the Holy Ghost give you convictions. I can tell you the reason why the early Baptist, Methodist, and Pentecostal church preached holiness so strong is because they stayed in the Word of God. They stayed at the altar and they said, Lord, whatever you want me to let go of, whatever you want me to separate from, I will do it. I will be a separated, sanctified Christian, and I will do what you want me to do. What is the Holy Ghost talking to you about today? I did not plan on going this direction. I believe it's the Holy Ghost. I'd have never put all this in my notes. I promise you that. The Holy Ghost needs to deal with you today. Whatever it is, get it under the blood. Give it up for Jesus. Don't make it a sin for everybody else if it's not in the Word of God and clear. But if it's something He wants, if it's eating meat, whatever it is, I'm not literally talking about eating meat, but if the typology of what Daniel, he said, I refused. I purposed in my heart, I will not sin against God. Here's what will take place when you do it. Joy will come back to your heart. Joy will come. You will burn with a fervency and a fire like you did years ago. Some of you long for that fire and that fervency and that joy again. Do you want it again? Be ye holy. Be separated as He is holy. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. And God will do a deep work in your life. Can we lift our hands all over this place? Father, I've preached what I believe you've put in my spirit today. Lord, I ask you if there's anything that I've said. Lord, I ask you that you would just anoint. Lord, let it be driven deep within the hearts and the lives of every individual here today. Lord, we want to be a people separated. We don't want to miss the rapture. We don't want anything to keep us from making heaven our home. Lord Jesus, you said in Revelation 21:8 that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. God, forgive us from our lies, our deceitful heart. God, we want to be separated unto you. We want to dare to be a Daniel. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here today, you're a backslider, you're away from God. God wants to save you today. I want you to lift your hand. You're here this morning, you're away from God. Lift your hand high. Praise the Lord. No backsliders, no sinners in this house. God sees this hand. God sees this hand. Anyone else? God sees. God sees. Amen. Here's the next altar call. You say, Brother Matt, I want to be razor sharp again. I've become loose. I've become a little indifferent. Maybe you don't have willful sin, but maybe you're not as sharp as you used to be. You've allowed things in. You've allowed things in, and you don't know why. You didn't know why you're in this spiritual condition that there's no hunger and thirst like you used to have. Start tracing back your decisions. Start tracing back your decisions and see why. Listen, church, we need to get whatever the cost, I want to make it. If that's you today, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with these two that raised their hand. There might have been more. But those of you, you say, I want to be sharp in this last day. Maybe you don't have willful sin, but you say, I want to be sharp. I don't want anything to deter me. I want you to come stand across this front. We're going to pray with you. Make your way very quickly as they begin to sing. I want to be sharp. I want to be razor sharp. The cutting edge of old time Pentecost was this. I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder me because Jesus could come back today. Jesus could come back today. He could come back today, the imminent return, knowing that He could come back at any moment, should make us right and ready, want to serve Him, want to be separated. Listen, don't worry about these little things. Little things. Jesus said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Get it under the blood today. Get it under the blood today. Lift your hands all over this building.
I want to be.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Till all of me is gone, and all that remains. is a fire so bright, the whole world will see that there's something different. So come and be different. I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen. You would move this heart to be set apart. And I don't want to recognize the one in the mirror. And I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar.